Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
And I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
It might have taken 134 years, but the GAA has finally stumbled upon the perfect structure for the Munster Hurling Championship. Hello and welcome to Monday's Second Captain's Podcast. Hi, Murph.
Hello there, Owen.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Owen, how are you?
I'm very good, Ken. I hope you're well as well. Half-time Tipperary yesterday. Half-time Tipperary versus Limerick, in Limerick, I should say.
Yeah.
I could hear from my comfortable couch many miles away here in Dublin, Murph, the sound of knives being sharpened. In particular, the knife of Tomás Mulcahy on the Sunday game live team.
I did notice that the first thing he said was a bit like a league game.
Yeah, he said there's not enough intensity. He had stated his opposition in advance of the match to the structure, to the new structure. He said at halftime there wasn't enough intensity, that it was more like a league match because of the new round robin. He may have missed the build-up to the Tipperary goal in the first half that involved two block downs and three shoulder hits that left me
shoulder assaults,
exactly, yeah. But Limerick came through that second half to spring a surprise and throw the tournament wide open. Cork and Clare followed up with what I thought was a really good game. Both matches, a reminder that you've got a competition here with five even more evenly matched teams than we might have thought going into things.
Yes, yesterday's results suggested that they're even more even than we thought they
were. Any of them could win it. Any of them could finish outside the top three and therefore be knocked out of the championship before the All-Ireland series. So if anything, I think we're going to see more intensity as teams, in this case Tip in particular, realise we're in danger of not even getting a shot at the All-Ireland here. We might only have a provincial championship unless we can get into that top three. So I like it, Murph. It's only one week in, but all you opponents, all you purists can put the daggers back into the holster there.
Yeah.
Is that where daggers are held?
Scabbards.
What you calling me?
But this is it. Ah, that was good. Top level sport does, Owen, try very hard to ensure that this doesn't happen. That a ton of really good teams in a league format, all of equal ability, play each other with the possibility that two of them don't proceed in said championship. I mean, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, the Champions League, the Rugby World Cup, the Soccer World Cup, it's all about keeping teams as far apart as possible for as long as possible.
It's like you're getting straight to the Champions League knockout stage.
Yeah.
But well, playing it in league format.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it really is. I mean, I've been a massive fan of it just because
something like, different.
Something different for a start.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, I was talking to someone this morning and they were saying, well, the crowds weren't great. I mean, really, 24,000 for Cork and Clare is pretty good by the standards of last year's Munster Championship.
Yeah.
21,000, I think, in Limerick, which is fine. I mean, it's not so far below the average that you'd be questioning the thing right off the bat. I mean, and I fail to see any downside to it. I mean, as you say, the idea that they don't even get to, you know, compete for the All-Ireland Championship. Well, they are. Like, they're playing four games. You know, this is the whole thing. You know, people are saying, well, you know, some of these teams are going to be out by the middle of June. Well, I mean,
that's not if they win a couple of games.
Yeah. And, you know, if they are gone by the middle of June, I mean, we're not all so young that we can forget the fact that just 20 years ago, this was a straight knockout.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so
getting to the middle of June was an achievement back in the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, probably meant that you'd won two games. So this is it. I mean, we're in the middle of it now, and it's only going to get better. I mean, you look at next week as well, and already it's Cork against Tipperary, Galway against Kilkenny are the games on telly next week.
The structure suits the Munster Championship in particular.
Yeah.
Because in Leinster, clearly there's a bit of a difference between the top couple of teams and the rest. Whereas in Munster, it is so even that it really kind of...
My poor father is trying to decide between Clare and Waterford in Cusick Park and Galway and Kilkenny in Pearse Stadium in Salt Hill.
I'm sorry, Galway, but...
You reckon Clare Waterford is a clear...
Well, he's a Waterford man.
Well,
he's
but I mean, on the other hand,
he's
half an hour closer to his house. you got to take that into account as well, though.
Michael Dagnan and Owen Kelly are going to be on Hurling Chat today. Murphy, you should enjoy Ken's in-studio presence while you can here, because for the rest of the week...
I always do, Owen.
Yeah, but even more so because he's off on his travels.
There's a voice.
Oh, my God. Sorry, mate. That's actually my seat.
What you think doesn't really matter.
He's an annoying twat. You walk away saying the word tosser.
Well, what's next for you? What's next for Hathaway?
What a boy you are.
What's next for Hathaway? Liverpool play Real Madrid.
No, what's next for
you? What's next for you? What's next for Hathaway?
Right now, myself and Dr. Alban, we've got a track on the market called I Love the 90s. It's doing very well in Scandinavia.
Yeah. Big in Scandinavia, Dr. Alban.
You can try all you like, Ken. It's not going to get any better than that.
Two apartments in Innsbruck, he said.
You don't buy that with Monopoly money, Ken.
Liverpool play Real Madrid in the Champions League final. You fly to Kiev tomorrow, Ken?
Yeah.
You're aware of the game. It's not on Wednesday nights anymore. They're Saturday nights now, the Champions League final.
You're emigrating to Kiev.
You're emigrating for a Champions League game.
Look, I'm going to Kiev. It's a little early in the week, but it's a long trip and I need to acclimatise. There's a time zone difference.
Of course.
2 hours.
Yep.
And
vicious jet lag to recover from, I'm sure.
And yeah, well, that was just the way that it worked out when I was booking it on. I mean, I could have booked a couple of business class flights, getting in on the, Friday morning and Thursday evening, stayed at one of the city's most expensive hotels, charged it all to you, Owen. but I decided to try and do this in the economical way. And actually, the longer you stay, the cheaper it gets.
And the more Ken, Erdy and Kiev that we have.
Indeed.
On the World Service.
I mean, it's just a chance for you to more fully immerse yourself in the Ukrainian way of life.
Yeah.
And I for one, applaud your dedication to that cause.
Thanks, Kieran.
Liverpool vs Real Madrid. Coverage right through the week on the World Service, secondcaptains.com.
Soccer is popular.
Don't worry, we'll get on to Russia after Ukraine. We're going to have daily World Cup shows, but let's worry about the Champions League for the time being. It's five per month to sign up on secondcaps.com for the World Service.
Yeah, it's just week after week behind the Iron Curtain for Ken Early.
After one round of the Munster Championship, I think we can say the round robin has been an unqualified success. Michael Dagnan, what do you think?
Early days, but yeah, look, we had all the cliches last week. I suppose all of it's very hard to call. To me, and I said it last Friday morning, and I was thinking about it last week, it's probably, I can't remember a time when Munster hurling was so strong. It had five top counties that actually all have such, like if you look, Cork were the champions last year, Waterford were in the final last year, Tipperary have been thereabouts, Limerick come with a great team, and Clare were champions back in 13. Okay, maybe a little bit disappointing since, but in a very strong state. So it's a massively competitive championship, and I wasn't surprised Limerick won. I did fancy them. I thought Tipperary in the league final, it was just a reaction to them losing. They were sort of blaming the players they didn't have. I think that's always a dodgy thing. Back to Cody again, he comes into every chat, but you never hear him talking about the players he doesn't have. He's only talking about the players he does have. And, you know, a lad trying to make the Tipperary team, they might be missing four or five, but he should be a top player. And they were making excuses not settled at 3 and 6. I think Pádraig Maher's better at 7. And so they were there for the taking, and Limerick have been very progressive. And I actually think Limerick have the strongest panel in the country. I think they're the strongest party.
Panel, yeah.
I think they're the strongest panel, yeah. That doesn't necessarily mean their starting team, but you know, in terms of this round robin having matches coming hot and fast, I think they've a lot of options. I think they've a lot of players at the one level. Whether they have the 3 or 4 superstars that you really need to get you over the line to win another, like any team that's ever won another has a few exceptions. We know who they are over the years. So, but they're a work in progress, and And Cork, again, I fancied Cork in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. And I was just saying to you before we came on there that the league playoff against Waterford, they had a disappointing enough league, but I think Kieran Kingston going was disappointing to them. I think, you know, he had set a certain tone down there, a way of managing, and John Myler would be a different personality. I'd know both of them, and John Myler would be more maybe old school or whatever. It took maybe a little bit of time to adapt, but you could see that sort of determination that Myler has in their back play particularly. Yes, I thought much more aggressive. We know about their forwards, we know about their midfield, Darragh Fitzgibbon, and their class forwards, but their backs were to me very impressive, attacking the ball, hitting hard, and yet Clare were right there to the death. So yeah, I thought overall a very good start.
Well, Owen Kelly's listening to this. Owen, Michael Deignan saw this coming for a tip. I felt Limerick were going to win the game. Did you see it coming?
I would have had, to be honest with you, and I was doing a piece for Sunday World and I said how Limerick had a great chance, and I think in Tipperary supporter circles when we heard the team on Friday night, I think, you know, a lot of Tipperary people were expecting Tip not to come out with a victory on Sunday. It was more hoping that we would, and maybe we're hoping that we'd finish the game with a stronger team, Bonner Maher, Seamus Callan, Brendan Maher to come off the bench, you know. But I think mentality wise it was like the damage was nearly done with Tip supporters, and it looked like that definitely fed into the Tipperary team in the performance that they gave. So, you know, it was very disappointing. But look, I suppose it's a pattern with Tipperary in league finals when they kind of haven't got a full 70-minute performance. The first round seems to follow suit, and you know, it puts the Tipperary team in an awkward position going into playing Cork next weekend.
Yeah, Owen, this is a bit of a recurring theme, as you say, and Tipperary people, and that's the players' management, but also the supporters, don't seem to react very well to league final defeats, as you say, or championship defeats. And this is obviously a pretty sore one again yesterday. Is there a chance that the sort of the public backlash to two bad displays affects their build-up to Cork next week? Basically, what I'm saying is, Tip usually have 2 or 3 weeks where they're fighting amongst themselves after big defeats, but they usually have those 2 or 3 weeks without a game to play. And this time around, they've two games to play, basically, and their championship could be over in the time it takes for them to recover from a defeat like yesterday's.
Yeah, there's two things I look at here now, and I really would, and I suppose I've never made this before, I'd be looking for the Tipperary supporters to really rally around this team now this week and next weekend and come in their droves to Semple Stadium next weekend, because, you know, there's no point in getting the knives out, and, you know, because they're still a good team, there's still plenty of hurlers. Right, we've done a bit of chopping and changing. We weren't as settled as Limerick, would you believe it or not? We got to the league final as settled as Limerick coming into the game. Limerick seemed to have a more settled team about them. Right, if it didn't go Limerick's way yesterday at home, which was a big advantage, they would have been called for John Kiely and the Napiercy players, way were the Napiercy players. But for Tip now, it's time to, I suppose, ex-players, supporters, really rally behind the team for next weekend and come in their droves to support them. And I think it actually couldn't come any sooner. I think a week is perfect. Right, Michael Ryan has cut off the media. I probably disagree with that. I think he should have came out. It's part of your duties as a manager. Spoke to the media, bad performers today, shut the door then for the week, and really come with a siege mentality to Semple Stadium next weekend, because, like, as players, you know what I mean, the one thing after a bad performance, you want to get out and play again, and it's coming soon. 6 days time now, you're in a heat of a Munster Championship battle in your home patch at Semple Stadium after Cork coming last year and beating you there. So for me, that's the two things. I think the game couldn't come any sooner for these players. Now, I think you'll have your shaky moments next weekend, but ultimately I think Tip will get over the line and bring a bit of physicality and a bit more, we'll say, structured game plan at the back to counteract, we'll say, the space that Limerick had there yesterday and that Cork seemed to have there 12 months ago as well. So, you know, I'd hope that's the way Tipperary people react to it, to be honest.
Michael, if you were a Tipperary supporter, would you take Owen's call to arms there on board?
Well, I'm not, so only joking. Look, I think Owen is right. I think they do need something. I was just thinking last week, I would have been sort of saying Tip and Galway a few weeks ago. And then the more I start looking at Tip, I'm starting to think, will they even get out of Munster? Because I just think, Owen, that a lot of the lads have an awful lot of mileage and they look to be stale enough or they're injured. You know, Seamus Callan obviously has a serious enough, he's back, but he's been out.
And just to remind people, out of the five teams, the bottom two are out of the championship. They don't get a shot at the All-Ireland.
No, they're gone, right, yeah. So, look, it's obviously in the context of next Sunday, it's massive for Tip if they lose that, they're under serious pressure. But, you know, I would have normally come in here today and said, look, I expect Tip to bounce back next week, but I'm not sure they will. Bonner Maher has been out and on. Noel McGrath has been out injured, Shane McCallan, and you're looking at these lads to come back and do it again, but it's at the back, I think, to have their biggest problems. Very unsettled across the half back line, even the full back line. Cathal Barrett out again was a loss. Obviously James Barry's confidence is gone, and the way those Cork forwards were going, and Cork love coming to Semple Stadium, so I think it's a really, really tough week. Maybe that's behind Mick Ryan's thing. I know Mick and Owen knows him well. He's a great, you know, a sound man, and it's probably just pure temper and frustration that came out in him yesterday. And there's no more determined Tipperary man than Mick Ryan. But the players now have to show it. And to me, they just looked like maybe a lot of years near the top, you know, won a couple of All-Irelands, maybe didn't win as much as they should have won, and maybe just the time is up for this team.
Yeah, well, see, a couple of things that I find interesting there. People are looking at the fact that the team that ended, like four subs from 50 minutes on, Brendan Maher, Shamie Callanan, Bonner Maher, you know, like these are, you know, some of the best hurlers we've seen in the last 5 or 6 years. But as you're saying it there, instead of saying, you know, Michael Ryan has to go with these guys, maybe he's seeing that staleness. You know, like that's not something that I would say play them, because they're your heroes and they're the ones that won you the All-Ireland 2 years ago. And without them, you're a weaker team. But maybe that's what he's seeing, that staleness that you're referring to there. And he has no option. You know, like as when I heard the Tipperary team, I thought, is he overthinking this? Is he thinking, right, we've got to play it 4 times in 4 weeks, therefore we have to freshen up the team with all these young lads? You know, like I kind of thought that was the only way that you could explain it, but maybe he felt he had no choice given what you're saying there.
Yeah, well, we don't know.
The disappointing thing there was you're going into the Gaelic grounds. Like, the best of Tipperary teams have struggled to come out of the Gaelic grounds. Like, it's a daunting place to go, like. You know what I mean? And especially Limerick, they're going so well, we'll say, on the back of a good league, beat Galway up to 1A next year. So you'd probably like to start with a bit more experience. We'll say we had 5 debutants, you know. That's a lot. That is a lot going into the Gaelic grounds with Limerick on a high. And Limerick coming with a game plan, with a system of play where they just bring out their half-forward line. There's loads of space inside, and that was noticeable in the league semi-final. So I don't think we learned anything from the league semi-final. They had acres of space again, yes, and they thrived off their inside line. And I think that's what Michael is saying. The structurally at the back, we need to get structured now, because Cork last year ran us right as well. Okay, Cork have the legs on us, we've seen that. But if we can get bodies back there, now I'm not implementing a 7 defender or a sweeper, no way. But if we can get your half-forward line midfield, an experienced guy in the middle of the field, likes of Brendan Maher, working back. You know, that's what we need to do. We need to congest it back there, have a bit of space up front, and maybe play. You know, Seamus Callan for me now needs to start next again. Bonner Maher, maybe Noel McGrath might slot out middle of the field. Now, I do understand Michael's point. There is mileage on the team, and I suppose even mentally wise, they've lost a lot of big finals, which is, it's heartbreaking. And even to get to another league final and lose it this year, it is heartbreaking. But just knowing those guys and having been in the dressing room with them, like, you know, they'll be ticked today, they'll be cross and angry, and you hope it comes out in the right way. Now, if you let Cork play next weekend and that turns out to be a shootout game, you could be beaten. But if you can, you know what I mean, really get in Cork's face, like, they don't like that style of play, but Tip, you know, you're hoping that bit will be between the teeth next weekend for that, which wasn't there yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I just actually called up the team that ended up playing against Galway last year. Tipperary's only real performance last year at all. And remember, like, we had the same conversation last year, that, you know, a really unconvincing league final performance followed by a really flat first outing in the championship. And Tip actually didn't recover last year until the semi-final against Galway. They had James Barry at fullback, Ronan Maher at centre-back, Pádraig Maher at 7, Brendan Maher at midfield, you know, Shamie Callan at full forward. They had the spine that won the All-Ireland the previous year after having tinkered around with the team before. So there is, I'm sure, there must be a temptation there for Michael Ryan, stale or not now, to go back to that team for next week.
I think there's no doubt he will. He will go back to the tried and trusted. And look, you don't become a bad team overnight. And I have the greatest respect for those players we're talking about. They're fantastic hurlers, like Owen is saying there. But it just, even John McGrath, who's young enough, he did just look a bit... Look, and taking Owen's point, you know, they have to close it up a bit at the back because they are being exposed, and then you leave space. But have they got that real pace up front any more either that they had. Like, if Callan is not right, John McGrath would depend more on touch and vision and all that sort of thing rather than pace. Noel McGrath's getting on a bit. So, like, I'm not sure to have the actual personnel. Bubbles is lacking form. So it's just, they're just going through a tough time. But having said that, they'll probably hammer Cork next week and we'll be back having a different conversation next week. That's the beauty. But one point I've been making since all these draws will be made is the advantage of the home team. It can't, like, I did a bit of research for the last couple of leagues. 70% of matches are won by the home team, and you're going to see, you saw that yesterday, all four teams won at home. It is a big factor in these matches, so it's probably going to take two or three rounds to balance out. And
yeah, see where we are. Might be as big a factor next week though, Owen, given that Cork don't exactly mind making the trip to Tip.
No, and look, Tipper on the ropes, like, and Cork will just love coming up the motorway, won't they? Coming to Semple Stadium, they love coming there anyway. But it's Cork's pace. Like, no, Michael is right. Look, Tipper are not, they're no pace really in their forward line. They're not pace his forward line, you know what I mean? They're stick touch men, you know. But, like, you know, we'd say if you can block it up at the back and get them handling the ball around the middle of the field, and maybe the likes of Noel McGrath and these guys setting up, that's when they're at their best. Like, when they give those pinpoint passes, we'll say, to Jason Ford, Seamus Canlan, and John McGrath, these boys and Bubbles, they'll score all day long for you. But no, I think Cork for me are coming up next weekend. They've 2 points in the bag. They can play with a carefree attitude. That's why I think Tip will win next weekend. I think the hurt will come out. It'll be shaky. Yeah, but all they want to do is get 2 points on the board. And I suppose for me, when the game was nearly over yesterday, chasing down a goal with 3 or 4 minutes to go, when, like, scoring difference can even come into this new structure championship. You know, there was, Limerick might have 10 or 11 lads back defending. There was no way you were going to get a goal. And Tip persisted with trying to get a goal instead of clipping the ball over the bar, bringing it down to maybe 4 points or 3 points. They were beaten. They were well beaten with 5 or 6 minutes to go. But, you know, everything is to play for again. But Cork are in a great position. Once you win your first game, you feel you're in a great position. But all could be changed again after next weekend's results.
Yeah. Michael, I thought last year was make or break for Clare. As All-Ireland champions 2013, they had obviously messed around for a couple of years, had a new manager last year. It has to happen now, and it didn't happen for them last year. Lost a Munster final in really, you know, kind of a substandard way to lose a Munster final. Never really gave it a rattle at all. Lost a quarterfinal to Tipperary. They're running out of time, and watching them yesterday, there was still loads of stuff that was admirable in their game, but it's the same story with them. You know, you end up losing by 4 or 5 points in a game that maybe that you dominate possession-wise. You've got a load of goal chances. You kind of think, oh, you know, even it was said last night on the television, like, oh, someday it'll click for them, you know, but it hasn't clicked for them for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I think what's keeping them so competitive is the quality of some of the players that they have. Like, they have fantastic individual players. But the big weakness with them, to me, is their decision-making. You know, it's, like, a lot of times they're shooting, so you should have passed that one, or you should have shot there, and getting through 2-on-1s and taking it simple. It's nearly like, I got my 3 points, so I'm happy enough. Like, not ruthless enough and going for the jugular. And that's coming out in them over the last few years. And, like, Cork have played them 4 times now since 13, and they've bet them 4 times. And so, you know, I suppose, look, it's easy to sit here and be critical, but the way the game has gone now, look, and I'm looking at the teams that are going well, like the physicality and the size, particularly of half back lines. Let's say Dublin last week against Kilkenny with Crummie and Owen O'Donnell and Sean Moore and Barrett. So Limerick across the half back line yesterday.
Paddy Foley with Wexford, you know, another player who's had a massive impact.
And Matthew Hand, like, massive men, that, and Gareth McInerney with Galway, and like that are just massively physically imposing. And taking Owen's point about Tipperary, where they're dropped, because of their work rate out the field, they're able to drop that number six maybe back a little bit further. McInerney is expert at it, and he gets in there all the time. So there's always a block to the goals. And all these teams are sort of playing that way now. And nearly the short puck out is suiting them, because they're taking a short puck and then pucking it long. But these lads are filtering back. And you're drawing the half forward line in instead of out, what Noel is talking about, making room for your full forward line. Yeah. So it's actually working against teams. And it's great to see in the evolution again, because we're talking about long puckouts and Kilkenny hoovered them up for years, so people started going different. And Kilkenny are going different themselves now. They're playing a much shorter game and trying to run it out of the backs, which they never did. But it's interesting to see, and other teams then have changed. And I just see the teams that are really competitive are exceptionally big across the half back line. And And I think Clare maybe are lacking a bit of that power and drive. You know, and it's down to the personnel you have. Offaly don't have that sort of pace or size either.
I was going to make that point. It's difficult for any management team. So then you get accused of overthinking things and being too tactical, but you have to be some way tactical to make up for the deficit in power. Yeah.
Well, I looked at Limerick and I did a bit of commentary for the local radio on the Limerick league match against Offaly, and their half back line, like the size of them, they were out in front of me. Like they're 6'4". Dermot Burns is a savage of a man. Declan Hannan, or they could put Kyle Hayes there, who's probably better suited to centre back, and Dan Morrissey in the other wing. And Offaly just couldn't break them down. And like even looking at Kilkenny, they don't have that. They've Killian Buckley's pace and hurling. You know, they've two new wing backs who are strong lads. But just I think it's looking at the real contenders this year, and even Mark Ellis yesterday probably had his best game in a long time for Cork, that, and the size of him, like, so it is a huge factor, and the bigger counties can look at these maybe athletic figures and getting them onto your squad and getting them in, whereas, you know, maybe smaller counties don't have to pick the human resource, but if you can get a guy who's 6'3 or 4 and fit and mobile and strong in the air, or 3 or 4 of them across your half back line, they're very hard to break down.
Owen, what do you think? Like, has the moment passed for this Clare team, where, you know, the idea that they've won their All-Ireland, but they're not actually going to be able to get back to that?
Yeah, I probably don't see them as All-Ireland contenders, to be honest with you. I just, look, I would have said over the weekend, if they had the six defenders that they had in the 90s, you'd have the perfect team. Like, you know, they just don't, they seem to concede an awful lot of scores, 223, yes. Even when they bowed out of the championship last year to Tipperary, I don't know, it was over 25 points again, you know. So their concession of scores, like, they just cough up easy scores at the back, we'll say. You know, but I would, yeah, they have some quality players that any team would love to have. The Tony Kellys, like Shane O'Donnell for me now, you know, they were saying he was one of the Spice Boys when he started out, like, but he works harder than any inside man I know, like, do you know what I mean? And if, like, he could finish with 5 points every day, it's just his shooting lets him down the odd time, but his work ethic there, and he takes on the man. Like, you'd love to have him in Tipperary now, because he's the ideal ball winner, and his pace and everything. But
was he a bit too unselfish at times yesterday, Owen? I thought he was winning a lot of ball and playing some lovely ball off him. There were a couple of goal chances created. Was there more of an opportunity for him to put the head down, which is something that he loves to do, and just go straight for goal?
I'd like to see him rotate between 11 and 14. I'd like to see him coming on to a couple of balls from 11 there. I think he'd open up the whole full forward line. Do you know what I mean? We'll say coming on to balls from 11 and that. But it's at the back their trouble is. Like, I don't think it's up front really their problem is, to be honest.
In Leinster, we had one of these good occasions. You're talking about home and away, and obviously Wexford Park looked like the fans helped at the setup there. Looked like a nice occasion for everybody. Dublin, again, come out with a certain amount of credit, even though they didn't play maybe as well as against Kilkenny. We seem to be praising the one team who've lost their two games, but given the expectation level, they seem to be getting some plaudits.
Yeah, I think one thing about Wexford, it's the place to go for atmosphere. It's like, I don't know what it is about the Wexford. We've said this many times over the years, but geez, they're infectious in terms of their for a team that haven't won All Ireland for, you know, okay, 96 and back to 68, but their love of the game is massive. And Conal Keeney was a massive loss. Like, I wasn't talking to you last week after the Kilkenny match. Like, You'd have to be there to see how well he played against Dublin on someone like Killian Buckley. Like, Conal Keeney is 35. Look what he's done for the football. Then the bad injury. Then to come back now and answer the call. And he scored 4 points in play against Kilkenny, but he also kept Killian Buckley completely out of the game. And when he went off, Killian Buckley, you know, thundered into the game. The last 7 or 8, and Paul Murphy beside him, where he was closing them down, blocking, hooking, but also winning ball and winning scores. So he was a massive loss. And in the context of their setup, it's Liam Rush and him down the middle, power, pace, with Rush like just a battering ram. And he was, once he was out of it, I didn't give them a chance. But I thought, like, it was a huge performance. With a couple of minutes to go, they were right back in it again. And it was very, look, Wexford got over the line. It was huge for them. Because I think the one game that Offaly realistically, I know Wexford or Galway and Kilkenny have beaten Offaly 12 and 9 points, but there was glimmers there in both Offaly matches. And I'm not sure we've seen Offaly's best team on the field yet. And I'm not saying, like, the resources are limited.
Yeah, you were saying, though, a couple of weeks ago that you thought they were really going to target the game next week at home to Wexford.
Yeah, well, I think they have to, because going to Parnell Park, being realistic, like, Kevin Martin will be going, trying to go out to win every match. But being realistic, he knew they weren't going to beat Galway, and more than likely weren't going to go to Kilkenny and beat Kilkenny. So in terms of trying to stay up, to me, this is the All-Ireland final for Offaly on Sunday. If you lose that, you've we've only another few days and back up to Dublin again for their fourth match, and tiredness is going to be setting in. Like a lot of, there's five of their forwards over 30 years of age, and so to me this is the one next Saturday evening. But whether they're good enough or not, we're just leaving ourselves, and again, like Owen nearly apologising about a sweeper, like I've obviously been very anti-sweeper, but Offaly are giving no protection to their backs, like against Galway and again yesterday. Our two midfielders seem to be out of position all the time. They're trying to stay with their men who are dragging them away from the back line, on, say on the Kilkenny puck out yesterday. The Kilkenny midfielders were staying way out the field and our lads were staying with them instead of getting back in front of the half back line, where traditionally it would always be to support them. And it's just leaving our forwards one on one all the time. And no matter how good of a defender you are in the modern game, you're going to be in trouble. So I think Offaly have to tighten up back there. Wexford will be favourites, but I'm expecting and hoping for a huge Offaly performance.
Yeah, well, in ways, Dublin have been kind of the story of the summer so far, in that they have precisely 0 points, but they're the team that's overperforming compared to their league displays, I suppose. And they still have a chance. I mean, if we have seen glimmers from Offaly, if Offaly do manage to beat Wexford and Dublin manage to pick up two wins, maybe against a Galway team who have already qualified in the last for the Leinster final in the last round, then there is still a chance for Dublin to get something from this.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I'm not surprised. You know, we had heard that the work they were putting in behind the scenes, like sometimes twice a day, was colossal under Pat Gilroy. And, you know, you knew a manager of that stature, that capable, he's a capable guy, you knew they were going to come with something. And they have, and they're just being unlucky. And it's a work in progress. And I'm actually delighted to see Dublin performing like that. And, you know, on a different scenario, I hate to see a team being relegated, you know what I mean? So I don't want to see an Offaly or a Dublin going down. I want to see him in the Championship next year. So I think you'd love to see that being looked at, but that's for another day. But, you know, Dublin, I suppose, right, I can't see him probably getting through. I still think it's going to be Galway, Kilkenny and Wexford are going to come out of Leinster. And, you know, but the Dublin, you know, I think everyone's delighted to see him, because, you know, you need the Dublins hurling at the top tier, and you're looking at Offaly and those guys there as well. But I expected nothing different under Pat Gilroy, and with Anthony Cunningham involved, you knew they were going to come with something, and they have in the Championship, in fairness to them.
Is the acid test of this Kilkenny team coming next week? I mean, you've seen them now both weeks against Dublin and Offaly, and struggling mightily to beat the pair of them. You know, are you entirely convinced?
Some of the hurling has been very good, but there has been, like yesterday, 21 wides, you wouldn't associate that. Colin Fennelly came in and made a big difference. Luke Scanlon got 4 points in the first half, went out of it, was taken off. Brian Cody was on fire on the sideline. Like, in a game that they were dominating, he was fighting every ball. I don't know where the man gets the passion for the thing. He was incensed by a couple of wide balls given against TJ Reid, and he was going after Barry Kelly. That would be going back a while. So it was that was the most entertaining thing about the game, to be honest.
It's Pearce Stadium next Sunday, of course.
So Pearce Stadium, yeah. So they are a work in progress. Like St. Martin Keogan didn't play well against Dublin. They had 7 debutants against Dublin, which was kind of kept quiet in the build-up to the game, which was incredible for Kilkenny. And some of them struggled big time. Like Dublin, across the half-back line, as I said, they were very dominant. But he then yesterday scored 3 points. Liam Blanchfield had a fine game yesterday, got 1, 2 or 3 and could have got another couple of goals. Colin Fennelly coming back in for another very impressive 20 minutes or so again yesterday. Paul Murphy had a full game under his belt. So I think, again, we probably don't know what team he's sort of, you know, really going to settle on for the full team. I think they'll be happy to qualify. I don't think they'll beat Galway. I think Galway are a step ahead of everybody else at the moment. Haven't seen, say, all the matches we've seen so far. They're very settled. They're very strong. They're playing with, like, look, there's loads of room for improvement. The Offaly game, they were going through the motions, but their movement, they know how to, they have a game plan, they have a settled team, and to me, they're very focused on retaining the Ireland. I think they'll be very hard-beaten.
Michael, brilliant stuff. Owen, hopefully the TIP fans listen to your rallying cry there. Thanks a million.
Cheers, guys.
Off to bed I went.
My head was fried.
I didn't even know there was a damn card in the thing.
Fucking
horror. I was
horror.
Devastated.
I'd been off the smokes a while.
Hard full.
Sod that. Back on there.
I had a date organised for that night. A first date with someone. Cancelled that.
My head was gone.
Woke up the following morning, and to my absolute amazement, I read this message on my phone.
Let me tell you, you're only getting this because you're a former player of mine, and I'm not too sure too many journalists would have got the third time lucky.
Hi Richie, sorry the equipment didn't work again, but it's no problem for me to do it again. Maybe see you in Ipswich one day for third time lucky. Best wishes, Mickey. best wishes, Mick.
I got a job on a Wednesday. I'd been a player up until that Wednesday. Took the training on Thursday. I picked the team on Friday and I took the game on Saturday, so. I got the job on a Wednesday. I'd been a player up until that Wednesday. Took the training on Thursday. Picked the team on Friday and I took the game on Saturday, so. It was a bit of a whirlwind.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm just looking down. I think all the red lights are still on. It looks like we've recorded this successfully. Mick, thank you so much for agreeing to do this so many times.
Richie, I sincerely hope so, because there's no fourth time lucky, let me tell you.
Richard Hughes has emailed in to editor at secondcaptains.com. Subject line, saving Gaelic football. You remember this chat we had last week in the World Service? We enjoyed the chat on Wednesday regarding the state of Gaelic football. Agree with Murph about the eerie silence at games now as teams hand pass and endlessly recycle sideways. As a Tyrone fan now in London, I accept our role in all of this. Rule change suggestions I have heard are, number one, have a proper tackle like Aussie rules, would speed up play and stop slow turge recycling, but probably at cost of more injuries and further bulking up of players. Number two, a shot clock borrowed from basketball. Say 45 seconds from that. This is a great idea. Mm. 45 seconds from obtaining primary possession. It would speed the game and encourage vertical play. Transformed basketball 50 years ago. And we are close to that point, I think. And number three, a limit of hand passes in one possession. This has been suggested in a lot of places. Much talked about, as our friend Richard says.
Who keeps count?
Referee.
It's too difficult. How can the players have to know as well, though?
Yeah.
Like, the players have to also keep count, because otherwise...
Well, in the international rules, the referee shouts it. So if I hand pass to you, he says one. If you hand pass to Owen, he says two.
Right.
You know, so the player can follow. But I mean, again,
Richard makes
how
the
practical
point,
that is.
Richard makes the point that there's no need for number three if you just go for number two, a shot clock. Mm. Yeah. Because then you can't just endlessly recycle, because your shot... And also the shot clock creates incredible moments of drama in basketball, particularly when it gets close to the end of the game, and there's one eye on the shot clock and there's one eye on the game clock. The real genius players have another thing to think about, which they can use to their advantage and wind down a shot clock.
But they've got timeouts and all that kind of stuff in basketball.
They do.
Right? So that's a bit different from Gaelic football.
Yeah, you start the shot clock, I suppose, from when you pass your own 45 or something like that. You know,
when you get possession.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think you'd actually have to start it by crossing some threshold on the pitch and then the shot clock begins.
Well, anyway,
I think, but
I've got another idea. Thanks for the email, Richard, but I've got one myself here.
Go on. This is unprecedented, but...
Manufacture more footballers like Conor McManus who can shoot a point from the right touchline with his right foot with a big championship game in the balance from about 60 yards.
I've literally never seen a ball travel that far.
Yeah,
let alone
clear the
so
post
accurately.
Clear the post by a good 20 feet.
It's one of the most extraordinary points. Ushing McConville was WhatsApping me this morning saying it was one of the greatest points he's ever seen.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone would argue with it. I've seldom seen a better point under that sort of pressure. There's a breeze blowing as well. I mean, it's just sensational. It's absolutely outrageous point. Now, I can see a few club managers saying, "Well, should he really be shooting from there?" But I suppose when it's Malachy O'Rourke and Conor McManus, I think the rules are temporarily suspended.
McManus does take on the odd mad shot, especially in the international rules. There's times you're thinking, come on, mate, you can't be shooting the whole time. But then he does consistently score heavily in that competition as well. So
gotta
let genius.
And clutch football. Yesterday. Outrageous from Conor McManus.
Not a bad Saturday sport lined up next week, the Champions League final, preceded by Leinster trying to become the first team to do the European Cup Celtic League double in the rugby. We're going to build up to that one during the week on the World Service. But Simon, what did you make of the weekend's game against Munster?
Just a really surprisingly low standard, again, from both sides. A bit like the European Cup final. And it's really strange at this stage of the season, when the players have been together for so long, the coaches have had so much influence, for the standard to actually go down. And it wasn't due to tiredness or anything like that.
Ah, well, it is on the Leinster side of things. I mean, come on, they're on the piss for 2 days after the last.
They had to shuffle a few things, and they actually had far more skill than Munster.
Yeah.
But they did start to get more error strewn in the second half. Maybe that was tiredness, but Munster certainly have the bigger issues in that area. Peter Manny was talking afterwards, and he rarely speaks his mind, I think. That's pretty fair to say. So when he does say something that has a bit of heft to it, he's just saying guys have got to understand that we have to take another step in a couple of aspects of our game. The good thing is that a lot of them are stuff you can improve on. I wouldn't say quite quickly, but they can be improved on. And Van Graan was saying more or less the same thing, not quite as specific, just saying that their passing is the main issue. And you'd sort of agree with that, especially based on the semi-final against Leinster. Because their pack stood up to Racing more or less besides the line-out, and they started to dominate Leinster in the second half. And the likes of James Crone and Reece Marshall, they've tons of options in there. Their back row is every bit as good as Leinster's in terms of talent, and they stood up to Leinster's at the weekend. So you would say their pack will keep them in or maybe even dominate in 90% of games. So if they can sort their line out, that's probably okay. But their backs definitely let them down at the weekend, and even their best players, like such as Zeebo, his passing went awry. But the passing is, like Van Graan is saying, it's something we can sort, maybe not in the short term. Peter Manny's saying it is something that can solve relatively quickly. But actually passing is way more than just a technique like the shape of your hips or how it releases out of your hands and something that a skills coach could work on. It's about like the timing. It's when you choose what pass, the short pass, the inside pass, whatever it may be. It's vision. It's all those things that are really, really either take years to learn or a brilliant coach, or in some players' cases, it never comes at all.
Yeah, some of the ones on Saturday, they were literally just throwing into touch. You know, there were a couple of, some of them were into touch and forward. It was a real array of just crazy passes. And I noticed that Omani interview afterwards as well. I took his point in that what he said, if we were beaten out the gate, if we just didn't turn up, I'd be more worried about that because you can't fix that.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty low bar to be setting as Munster captain. Like, he knows full well that that you need more than that, that you need high skill levels as well. I thought he had a kind of resigned look about him, as though he realised how far behind Leinster they are.
Yep.
But Leinster were celebrating for a couple of days. Leo Cullen said they barely had any time to coach properly during the week.
Yep.
Six changes from the European.
They were
no sex and no handshot. Yep.
And yet still, Munster weren't, you know, they were in with a shot.
The Grobler try probably wasn't a try. It was so late on that it wasn't going to make a difference.
I'd be a bit worried about Munster, about whether or not they can kick on and make finals next year.
Completely. And they're losing their best passer in Zeebo, who was terrible in the first half. He got run over by James Lowe. He got run round by James Lowe. He threw a pass that was nearly an intercept to Jordan Larmour. At one stage, he ran sort of for 40 metres looking for the right pass and eventually passed to Earls, who just had no option but to go into touch. And then he got caught by Ringrose as well for a follow-through when he should have eluded him. And yet, he is their best passer. He was their only way they were going to get back into the game. He was the one who released Earls for the try. And he has the sort of personality, same as when he came on in the semi-final against Racing, that he'll just keep trying things. He wants to be the star of the show, and they need a couple of players like that in the back line. Because I felt their centres are sort of listening too much to what their admittedly good coaches are saying, such as Felix Jones, but listening too much and not just sort of trusting their own instinct a little bit. That comes from inexperience, comes from youth, comes from just never having sort of won anything or played enough together. But you don't know yet if they're good enough to progress that level. Peter Manny says they can do it in the short term. I'm not so sure.
Ulster beat the Ospreys, if people saw any of this game. They were deserved winners, but they needed to salvage something from a horrible season. Their coach, John O'Gibbs, leads them so to the promised land of Champions Cup rugby next year. He did it without his best players, Charles Pietau, Rory Best, Ian Henderson and more, either started injured or went off injured during the game. And there's been an unprecedented run of off-the-field issues there at the club, obviously.
I think it's a fair comment, though.
Yeah,
unprecedented
run
of off-field issues.
So John O'Gibbs, surely was due a nice easy opener after the match from the BBC Northern Ireland reporter, yeah?
What's next, then? Is it Waikato or is it La Rochelle?
It's making sure that the rest of the packing's all done. We've got to clean the house and got to get a flight on Wednesday. So that's the next thing that'll be done. But seriously, we've been criticised throughout the year for performance and all that other garbage. But I feel good about what they've displayed today, because that came from the group, that came from within them, and they should be really proud of what they showed today.
Can you understand why people have criticised you while you were in France on a Thursday ahead of this game on the Sunday?
Not really, no. I think if you look at it, the question is probably, did preparation get compromised? No, it didn't. It was a player's day off, and the fact was it was a bizarre game and that we had 3 weeks to prepare for this game anyway. So there wasn't a lot of detail that needed to be covered off. Players down day, I've got a life outside of Ulster Rugby as well, and I think the question being, was performance compromised? No, it wasn't.
Is there a sour taste in this relationship you leave Ulster with, or is it good?
Why would you ask that, mate? Mate, I just said, I've just had a great experience working with people. It's been a difficult year. There's no sour taste. So I know you got to ask that, but I don't know why you want to carry on with that.
The background to that, Ken, is that Gibbs was supposed to be going home to New Zealand. And
for undisclosed family reasons,
Ulster Rugby said, "Okay, that's okay. You're going home. You'll coach at Waikato. We'll sort out your contract. Don't worry about that. We'll sort out all that. That element, let you go early." And suddenly, the stories emerged last week that he's over in France having talks with La Rochelle about a job there, slightly different from moving home to New Zealand. So
the other significant thing about that Ulster win, of course, is that for Joey Carberry, his excuse to not go to Ulster is weakened a little bit. If Ulster had lost that game, he could definitely say, look, there's no future for me at Ulster if there's no European Cup next year. Whereas, I don't know, watching the game sort of clarified a little bit just how much sense it would make for him to go to Munster. And if he wants to go there and Munster want him, then it seems like a perfect symbiotic relationship. But with Ulster winning, maybe, again, there's just a bit more pressure on him to move north.
That's pretty much it. Thanks very much, Murph.
Thank you, Owen. Thank you, Ken.
Thanks very much, Simon.
Thank you, Owen.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Ken. Thanks a million for listening. And Ken, safe travels, buddy.
It's another European Cup semi-final for Liverpool.
The boys of Liverpool, well, when we safely landed, call myself the fool.
That's a goal for the club!
It began to boil. Temper, I was Lewis and poor old Aaron's oil. They began abusing her.
Sorry, mate.
Is your Wi-Fi?
What a boy you are.
He knew why I'd come. That's actually my seat.
Wi-Fi workers!
I don't know what you're talking about.
We've actually just been told to sit anywhere.
You're all Wi-Fi workers.
The seat numbers don't count.
Hunt the hare and turn her down the rocky road and all the ways to double a
McFalloni.
What storm is that? That's the second time it's gone off. They never go home, they never go home, they never go home, those boys.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.